We give so much credence to feeling. My best students will say, well, this doesn't feel intuitive. I'm like, were you accurate or inaccurate? Accurate. Then like, I don't care how you feel. Don't care how you feel about doing it. Care that you can do it.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of Light Pink, best-selling author, three-time fitness world champion, and I'm a crazy multi-passionate entrepreneur. My journey has taken me everywhere from being a broke waitress, barista, retails associate, and personal trainer with massive anxiety and no belief in myself to later becoming a multimillionaire in love with my life. In 2007, my husband and I lost everything. We found ourselves hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt at rock bottom. We had no ideas and I had no education to fall back on. This is when I found personal development and learned everything I could about business. Not by choice, but because I realized no one was coming to save me. The conversations on this podcast are going to let you know that you're not alone and that we all feel like we don't know what we're doing. We're going to give you the tools to help you face your fears, take action, start your business, and grow those massive dreams that are keeping you up at night. It's time to create a life that you can't hide from and put so much on the line that your higher self is forced to come out. You're going to stop waiting for someone to approve of you and you're going to anoint yourself. Because I'm obsessed about building businesses that give women a platform, I want to feature you. So if you text the word podcast to 310-496-8363, you can get your questions answered on our Q&A segment along with a shout out. And if you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, we're choosing someone every month to get coached and featured on our show. It just might be you. So let's get started. Welcome back to the show. Today's conversation was a fun one. I talked with my guest, Laura Day, all about intuition. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she spent nearly four decades helping individuals, organizations, and companies harness and develop their innate intuitive abilities to create profound change. Newsweek magazine calls her the $10,000 a month psychic, adding, when business people need a crystal ball, they turn to consult with Laura Day. She is the intuitionist. They call her the independent, dubbed her the psychic of Wall Street. A-list Hollywood stars and Wall Street executives praise her ability to predict future events. You can see why this was a fun conversation, including the 2008 recession with astounding accuracy. Brad Pitt has said, I believe in the gut and I believe in Laura Day. Laura has worked with so many people demystifying intuition and bringing it into the mainstream. In her workshops and presentations, she demonstrates the practical, the verifiable, and sometimes the astonishing uses of intuition in the fields of business, science, medicine, and personal growth. She's trained thousands of people and companies to use their brains, perceptions, and sixth sense in effective ways to realize their goals. She's the best-selling author of six books. I've bought three of them, Practical Intuition, Practical Intuition and Love, Practical Intuition and Success, The Circle, Welcome to Your Crisis, and How to Rule the World from Your Couch. So let's get started on this conversation. I loved it. I hope that you do too. Laura, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
I'm so thrilled to be here.
Okay. You are one of those guests that I literally am like, oh, she needs to have like three different podcasts for all of the things that I want to talk about because I'm so into what you do. And I'm going to have you explain what that is because I really feel like there was a time in my life where I knew that I had a lot of, I knew that I was able to kind of like see or be connected to things or feel things or make decisions off of those feelings that I had that would typically turn out really well. But I also was fighting with this other world of maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe I don't know these things. And now I love learning about how it can apply those different feelings or emotions or unpack them and try to understand them. I'm even so excited for today that I'm going to be talking to you because I want to understand more.
So remind me later to tell you the difference between feeling and intuition and why they're opposite ends of the spectrum. So I, in the early 80s, when I was in my very early 20s, the universities, scientists, researchers were interested in what they called the extended capacities of the human mind, you know, ESP, extrasensory perception. And I was a test subject. So I really didn't come to psychic skills or intuition through mysticism. I came to it through not really knowing what it was, but knowing that my brain perceived what they were looking for and becoming a test subject and really going, experiencing our ability to have our mind move in time and space, the flexibility of our mind, experiencing it in a way that my hits and misses were recorded. And why that's important is I think that people really confuse mysticism with intuition. Intuition gives you data. Yeah, it's in the future. Yeah, it's about someone else. Yeah, it's about something you couldn't see. Perhaps even, you know, about an innovation that you hadn't even thought of, but it's verifiable. Whereas mysticism gives the out of, oh, there's free will. Hate when people say that to me. I want to smack them. Yeah, there's free will. You're not using it. So I started as a test subject. And because I didn't come from mysticism, I really didn't have the piece in me that could do the crystal ball stuff wasn't there. So one of the experiments against my contract, which said this was absolutely anonymous, was televised. And I had an instant following for something I didn't even have a name for. And so what happened, which was such a gift to me ultimately, was, you know, drug research company would say, can you tell what's going to happen in these drug trials? And I'd say, well, I don't know. Let me try. Or someone would say, can you view a remote location and find where we should do an archaeological dig? And I'd say, well, I don't know, but I'll try. So just through the demands of the public, I learned how to apply these extrasensory skills, these non-local perceptions, to a variety of different processes and fields. I really came to mysticism much later in my life, more in my, you know, 50s, and I'm going to be 62 soon, in a few days. So I really came to mysticism through that, in the sense that it pretties up what we do already. And pretty is nice. I've written 6 books that are really, each book is a workshop. It's how do you apply intuition to business? How do you apply intuition to setting and reaching a goal? How do you apply intuition to creating a relationship? How do you prove to yourself that you even have intuition and that it's not that you need better psych meds? So my career now is, have worked for the same companies for 30 years. My job is I predict the future for these companies. But what I do that's kind of my love is I do a lot of workshops where I both read others, because I no longer read civilians, so to speak, and where they learn to read each other. I do them a lot of lives on Instagram. I do them on Facebook. I do them to support various centers of food programs now during the pandemic mostly. And then I do a training a couple times a year where I train people to be just as crazy as I am.
I love it.
And the one thing I want to add is I enjoy working for business, for science, because you're either right or wrong. And feeling is all about perspective. Whereas intuition, the way I train it and the way I was trained, is about a right or wrong answer, period.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that brings me to that question. Did that just answer kind of the question, how you would tell somebody, you said, bring me back to feelings with intuition and feelings and intuition being opposite.
Yes. About not trusting your feelings. Very smart move. Don't trust your feelings. Your feelings could be you had a bad dream. Your feelings could be that you need sugar. Your feelings could be that it's the wrong time of month. Your feelings could be a million things. They are not accurate. They're accurate about how you're feeling, but they're not accurate about viewing your environment or what's going to happen or even what has happened. So they're really opposite ends of the spectrum. The best intuitives, so the people who get wonderful, verifiable data, whether it's about how somebody else at a distance is feeling, a remote location, about the future, someone else's past. Those people are usually people who are maybe a drop on the spectrum, great mathematicians, really good traders. You know, those people who have super refined intuition are actually people who compartmentalize emotion because of brain structure, just organically. But everybody, and this is something that I do on Instagram and my soapbox, everybody has enough intuitive ability to accurately prepare for the future, to reformat the past with perspective, to communicate non-locally, which is called telepathy, and to restructure their world to a degree from their couch. My last book that's really a training manual is called How to Rule the World from Your Couch. And everybody has that ability. And a lot of the beginners who watch my little YouTube video on how to do an Instagram reading and then do it, knock your socks off with their accuracy. And it's also important to realize that that same porosity, that same ability that allows us to get that information can work against us in feeling what other people feel, picking up, you know, unuseful and unpopular objectives of others as if they were our own. You know, it's very important to both train intuition to your goals and untrain the unconscious spilling over of intuition into that area that tends to make us ill. When someone says to me, I'm an empath, I say, you need a therapist. We're not supposed to feel what other people are feeling. We're supposed to feel what we're feeling and know what other people are feeling, maybe even know how to help them, but we're supposed to feel what we're feeling. And that's hard.
Oh my God. I think this is, everyone's probably like, I need to read every one of these books. I definitely resonate with so many things that you just said. So I think my first question would go to, okay, so how do we do it? Like maybe it's, we're starting a business and we want to make sure it's the right business and we felt like it was right, but we want to tell the difference between how we can tell between feelings and intuition. Is there actions that they typically take or how do we start to learn how
You can't tell in the moment because I work with prediction. What I'm saying, I can't tell. It hasn't happened yet. Right. They don't fire me. So that's how I can tell. And when I make a mistake, believe me, they let me know. But other than that, you can't tell. But there are ways to engage intuition. You have to use it successfully. And I'd love to go through a few of them. And this is all in The Circle, which is actually my most esoterically written book because the publisher wanted something user-friendly, but it is a airtight process for engaging your intuitive skills and other skills to create a goal. First of all, one of the reasons there's often no right or wrong. So let's say you want to create a business. You need your definitions. What do you mean right? Do you not need money and you just want it to be edifying for your soul? Then great, that's your target. Do you want a business that you enjoy doing and also provides a certain level of income with a certain amount of certain hours of work? That's your goal. So it's all, and we can't always define our goal in detail. That's okay. Intuition and experience will help us define it once we have it. But define what is your goal and what does that mean? We're all used to using big paintbrush experiences like manifesting. Well, I don't want to manifest psoriasis. You know, manifesting isn't good. What you want, what you intend is. And a lot of the time, if you look back at your wrong decisions, they were your subconscious's way of preparing you in its own sloppy, messy way to get it right. So it's, you know, 20/20 hindsight can be very confusing. So number one, set a goal and make it one goal. It's not that you give up on all your other goals, but the human machinery needs context. And so when you set a single target, then the rest of your life gets contextualized around it. And usually in retrospect, you can see why you picked that one specific goal as a front runner. So for example, one of my first really conscious goals in The Circle was I wanted to be a full-time stay-at-home mother with my son, which was hard because my career was always on the road. And I didn't know how I was going to do that. I'd been doing intuitive work, but I thought I had to travel for it. Once I set that goal, which seemed impossible, I had no means of support. I'd left my husband when I was pregnant, and I had a brand new baby and couldn't sit down without pain yet. Mm-hmm. And so how was I going to do that goal? Well, all I did was I set the target. I want to be a full stay-at-home mother with my son. I didn't believe in myself. I let all, you know, you need your brain interference as information. No, you can't do it. You're not even college educated. You just have this weird skill, blah, blah, blah. And I'm doing my own intuitive process on myself in a place called play space while my son crawls around and eats the indoor sand they have. And a woman whose son is also ingesting sand sits at my table and sips her juice box. You know, we pack snacks for the kids, but it's really for us.
You're right.
So, and I'm writing these pages and we just strike up a conversation. She says, what are you writing? And I said, well, I'm really kind of in a pickle right now. And I'm using my own methodology to try to get myself out of it. You know, this is what I've used with companies. I'm trying to see if it'll work for me. And she says, well, let me see your pages. And I'm like, no, it's really embarrassing and they're messy. And everyone in my family's a doctor. I write like a doctor. So every piece of resistance. Finally, I showed her my pages and she said, this is a book. And I said, it's not a book. She said, I'm a book agent. This is a book. A few weeks later, a book was sold called Practical Intuition, which became a New York Times bestseller.
Wow.
And made me more than enough money to both pay for my divorce, put my son in private nursery school, buy back my apartment, and start my life without having to travel. Mm-hmm. So that's really the way intuition works. You set a target, a goal, and then you allow yourself to perceive what, you know, all your perceptions. People think intuitive information is like an angel drops it down and it has fairy dust. No, intuitive information, you literally, once you set a goal, you bump into, but what you have to do is document it. Mm. And I was very lucky in that in research, you document everything because you need to see hits and misses. If you don't write down your goal, if you don't write down or record your information, and if you don't review it, it's not going to be useful to you. Mm-hmm. So what happens once you set a goal is intellect, intuition, memory, all of those things begin to engage, and you engage without even being consciously aware of it in your life and goals in a different way. One thing that will come up, however, is, and you're talking about starting a new business, or is this the right? What will come up is things are not usually right or wrong. Things usually are, you know, 80-20, 70-30, right here, not so right here. And so there's a negotiation. It's an intelligent process. There's a negotiation process that goes on between you and your goals. In the circle, we call it coherence. Here's my goal, but how do I make it work with everything else? And how do I decide, is it worth it? You know, is it worth it to stay in this crap relationship? Well, let me do a pro and con list. And maybe it is. So what happens is your life begins to come together and your intuition, as you use it, gives you more and more detail. You document it. And what happens is you begin to notice that you documented detail that hadn't happened yet. And you begin to draw yourself a timeline. And it's a very important thing to have a constantly renewing map of where you're going, because you'll get more information, your target will evolve. So let's say you want to do a clothing store, and that's your goal. And you want a clothing store that you can close on the weekends and still makes enough money to support your lifestyle. That's your goal. And as the goal evolves, you realize that even though initially you wanted to do small sizes, most people in your area, you just begin to notice most people in your area can't find great clothes for real bodies. So, and then you think, real bodies, what an amazing name for a store. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you notice what the women who look good with real bodies wear. And not so you had your target, you have your target market, and you realize that these women with real bodies, they actually have work hours where they do their shopping in the afternoons at, or lunchtime during work. And you see, oh, wow, I can actually, and they're not at high-end malls. They're at malls you can afford. Mm. And blah, 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 blah. And you begin to find verifiable data that you can get numbers on to say, wow, I'm going to stop talking about this idea because it's so good, someone else will steal it. Then what happens is the synchronicities begin, because as you're placing yourself where you will be in the future, but in the present, you will begin to meet with the people, the organizations, the backers that will make that happen. Some of them you'll just begin to notice intuitively. And literally some of them, while you're walking to the store, you'll bump into, like I did, that wonderful book agent that changed my life as our children were eating sand. It's a very alchemic process. And it's one that really proves what science is now showing us, which is we live in a deeply interconnected world. We don't know how all the machinery works, but we know how to work it. And that's what my books are about. And that's what my teaching is about. Yeah, you know, we may not know why when you do X, Y happens, but we know how to do it. The why, let's leave it for the philosophers or us when we're in that bored period in our lives where we don't need to work anymore. We don't need to put kids through school. We don't need to, you know, where we can just look at our navel. But until then, you know, or if you're a PhD in philosophy and you have a tenured position, maybe you do it there. Then it's a good target. But until then, let's just make the machinery work, because life is so hard. We don't give ourselves enough credit. We don't give each other enough credit. But there is an engineering aspect to it. You know, it's not a deep understanding. It's how does your machine work? How does the machine of the world work? With a specific goal, what parts of your machine have to adapt? And where is your market? What parts of the world do you need to approach? And then all of a sudden, you have a new machine. And that new machine, you know the rules and you can make anything work. People sold pet rocks at a profit in the 70s.
This is true. This is true. Yes. Oh my God. You have said so many amazing things that I'm actually living right now. So it's so cool to hear it. And one of my questions was going to be, why do you think that that happens? Like, I do understand now, I've understood this and done the things for enough years to know if I start opening that up and setting those goals and setting those targets that, and I know we're actually going to talk about magic, but it feels almost like magically they come, even though I set those targets. It's like they always, the right people always end up on the path. So
but
tell me.
You used an expression that I want to stop you with, because it is the downside of intuition.
Okay.
The same organic porosity that allows us to feel what someone's feeling, see the future, go to a remote location and define it. That same porosity also can really be pathology, can really harm us. So one of the things that you want to do as you're allowing your senses, because that's how we get intuitive information, through our five senses, and sometimes through imagery that looks like history, you know, that kind of is a gestalt meaning. But that same ability also allows you to have telepathic conversations that are draining, to take up other people's goals. I mean, it allows you to be, in a sense, influenced and over-influenced by energy that is non-local, that you can't say in front of you, oh, I'm depressed because my husband's depressed. Mm-hmm. No, I'm depressed because my best friend, who I haven't heard from oddly in 3 months, who lives 2,000 miles away, is depressed, because when I go into this depression, it doesn't feel like mine, even though I am depressed. It feels like hers. Let me pick up the phone. I pick up the phone. She bursts into tears. Oh, I've been so depressed. Mm. So one of the things that I work on, and I especially work on it with companies, because a company is a family. A family is a family, but a company is a family. And there's a lot of porosity. And when something happens and everybody reacts the same because of information, if people can separate out into themselves, all of a sudden you have a working unit again. Mm. You know, there's that, I call it the urge to merge. There's the urge to merge. So you have to be really careful. Notice the conversations in your head. Pretend you're really having them. Because it's not pretend. Actually, research shows you are really having them. And there's a way to prove that. But it would take all our time to go into that right now. You know, choose your conversations carefully. And by the way, those you have in an obsessive way, you may have to redirect 100 times a day to a conversation that's positive. Mm. That's an example of telepathy. If you're always in the future, I'll tell you what the problem is. You have no energy to do anything in the present. Mm. Being able to predict is excellent, but you need to take your action in the now. So it's really important how you use your attention. And one of the things that's, I think, kind of alchemic about beginning to be aware of intuition, because you're intuitive all the time, you're just using it in messy ways that don't help you. Mm. But one of the things that's alchemic is all of a sudden you realize that you accurately described the meeting that you were so worried about and the room and the people and what would happen 2 days ago. All of a sudden you notice that when your best friend worries, it's better to pick up the phone so you can hash it out so you can get back to yourself. All of a sudden you notice how you're intuitive all of the time. You verify it, because proving or disproving your data is a very important part of it. And it becomes useful and accessible to you in a positive way. So that's really important. You know, people over give these mergy things so much, they exalt them, you know, oh, I feel what other people feel. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. That is a problem. What you want to do is have enough perspective to have impact on yourself, impact on others, impact on your world, impact on your community, impact on politics, et cetera, et cetera. That impact takes perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the hardest things in intuition.
So I have an interesting question that's coming up for me around that. So let's say you are either, you know, there was a time in my life when I had to go to events all the time for business, or you sometimes have to go see family that maybe is really draining. Sometimes what it can feel like is if I didn't feel all these things and think all these things, but when I would try to cut that energy off, especially with family, it would almost feel like I wasn't caring. Like, I know that this person over there is always miserable. Like, that part of me would always want to go try to fix it.
No, you were caring. You were caring about you.
Okay.
Your job is to take care of yourself first. Now, family events, you know, listen, families trigger us like nobody else.
Yeah.
But setting a goal, there are studies on purpose. And purpose makes even physical pain less. So the same level of pain, the same decibel of pain that has no purpose, you can tolerate. I cannot tolerate the pain of a vaccine, but Botox, no problem for me. Really, yeah. Doesn't hurt a bit. It's probably a higher decibel of pain than an inoculation, which I don't quite understand as much, but God, and I'm so grateful for, thank heavens. So, you know, one of my hints, for example, and I always say this on Instagram before holidays, is you're going into the rat's nest. You love them, but, you know, there's a lot of triggers there. Go in there to be triggered and respond differently. Mm. Go in there to heal those triggers in you, so that when you leave after Thanksgiving, you don't have those same triggers in the rest of your life. Because you do, if you're triggered in family, who are so good at it and such good learning petri dishes,
yes,
that you're triggered elsewhere. And you gave another example of something. So give that purpose. And that's what you would, the circle methodology, that's what you do. Because in a way also, you can, your past, without lying about events, you can recontextualize it in a way that's powerful for you now. Mm. So I have two siblings who suicided. Mm. Both of them saw themselves profoundly as having been victimized. I intuition in a sense, because in a way, what the same terrible experiences that happened to all of us gave me was my ability to see. Was this ability that allows me to make a living on my couch in my pajamas or in a Mickey Mouse t-shirt and make a really good living doing it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that so much, that recontextualizing, yeah, this should not have been my childhood, and yet this trained me for everything I love today. Mm. We need to, without lying to ourselves, I don't say, oh, this was a great childhood. No, oh my God, incredible, I survived it. But, and my siblings didn't, but wow, look at what this gave me. And we are in a constant process of using both intuition and understanding and maturity to recontextualize what happened, not to make it okay, but to make the story serve you now. Mm. But the now is important. You know, we live always in four time zones. We're always in the future. We're always in the past. Mm-hmm. We're always in the non-local. So when you become aware of intuition, you'll realize you remote view all the time. You have telepathy all the time. You have mediumship all the time. It's happening all the time. We live in the non-local. We live in the past, which influences our moment, which we have to constantly recontextualize. We live in the future, but often we live in the future with a lot of fear, but without doing something about it in the only place you have any impact, which is the present. Mm. So, mm-hmm. so in a sense, everything starts with mindfulness. And mindfulness is hard because mindfulness may be, gee, everything I want, I don't have now. I don't see any way I'm going to have anything I want. I'm in a horrible degree of pain. I have all these things I need to deal with. It is so overwhelming. Often mindfulness, being in the present, is that. The wonderful thing about intuition and the wonderful thing about the circle is that what you also realize is this moment only matters as the ground to change the next moment. And you can do that. You know, one of the things I hate about the more ooey gooey part of my profession is someone goes to a psychic to tell them, well, what will happen? And then they freak out. Well, no, if someone tells me something I don't want, and there's reason to believe based on experience that they are accurate, my next question is, what do I need to do now to change it? Because you are creating your life now. And we often magicalize things. So I'll have a lot of readers who will, and I answer all of my own email because a lot of my readers really email me very personal things that they should not put in an email.
Right.
Readers will say, every time I think of this man, I see a heads up penny. That must be a sign. I'm like, and the rest of your life, the fact you don't know this person, you're married to someone else, they live thousands of miles away, you have no way of getting in contact them, that's not a sign. Like just the penny is the sign. Your entire life is a sign. So back to we're starting a business. I want to start a business. The minute I want to start a business, I'm overdrawn at my bank. I take that as a sign that I can't. That's not a sign. The fact that you have an idea, the fact that you're beginning to see a market for it, the fact that it's something you love and want to do, the fact that when you were 7 years old, you actually made a plan to do this, the fact that you have a friend who might be willing to help, those are also signs.
Yeah.
You know, we can't, cherry pick our signs. Everything is a sign. And everyone wants to know what's going on inside of them. If you look at what's around you, the life you've created, that's what's going on inside of you. Mm. It's not your fault. You know, 95% of everything we do is done below the conscious awareness, which is why the more you make conscious, the more you have mastery. Not too fast or you flood yourself and fall apart, but, you know, piece by piece. But so much goes on because we're programmed that way. And a lot of what the circle does is it doesn't say, okay, this is your deep change. It's saying, no, you want A, we're only going to change the things that you need to have A. And in streamlining that process, you find you get A very quickly, very easy to achieve. And all those deep interchanges you needed to make to get A, they happen. They happen because they have to. Someone says, how do you deal with fear of public speaking? Go out in public and speak.
Yes.
You know, we give so much credence to feeling. You know, some of my best students will say, well, this doesn't feel intuitive. I'm like, were you accurate or inaccurate? Accurate. Then like, I don't care how you feel. Don't care how you feel about doing it. Care that you can do it.
No matter what size business you have, There is stress about recruiting and hiring. So if it's pushing you from warrior one into fetal position, take a deep breath and get a quality list of candidates with Indeed Instant Match. When hiring gets hard, you need Indeed, the job site that makes hiring incredibly simple. Just attract, interview, and hire. In fact, with Indeed, you can do all of your hiring in one place, even interviewing. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools will help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed's Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. Indeed Instant Match immediately delivers quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description. You can even invite them to apply right away. And according to Indeed data, candidates you invite are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than those who only see it in search alone. Plus, the Instant Match Indeed data shows 90% of employers get quality candidates from Indeed's resume database as soon as they sponsor a job post, according to Indeed data. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/happy. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/happy. Indeed.com/happy. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, I love this because I even remember back to like 3 to 5 years ago when a lot of people were really, it was starting to be a little more mainstream to talk about like manifesting and alignment and what does that look like and feel like. And I remember like thinking, okay, all of the things that have made my life better and that have made me ultimately happier did not feel good in the beginning. One of them being public speaking, like I would rather jump out of an airplane without a parachute on. Like that's how that felt to me. So, you know, I had some friends who were like, oh, it doesn't feel like it's in alignment because it just doesn't feel good. And I'm like, there's so many things that don't feel good initially that are
the right?
exact right things that you need to do. How do you feel kind of, is it the same thing when we're talking about like manifesting in alignment? Like, oh, I'm not sure if I should do that thing.
All in alignment means is that you're not working against yourself.
Okay.
And in the circle, we call it coherence. So, you know, if your home life is working against your work life, you need to use intellect, intuition, negotiation, therapy, whatever, you know, a pistol, whatever, to find agreement.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the problem I have with words like manifesting and alignment is that they begin to mean nothing. The fact of the matter is, if you're building a building and you leave out a brick, that's a weak point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're doing 3 things at once, studies show actually the brain does not multitask. Do 1, then do 2, then do 3. Yep. And then maybe go back to 1, then do 2, then do 3. Work effectively. Allow conflict to come up to be resolved. We're also afraid of conflict. Yep. You know, it's not something new doesn't feel good. And manifestation is only getting what you want. That's what manifestation is. And there's a way to get what you want. You need to work with yourself. You need to work with the world. And you have to realize that creativity has its limits because creativity can only reorganize what you've already been exposed to. Mm. And here is where intuition comes in as a superpower. Intuition can go beyond what you've been exposed to. It's not rearranging old pieces. It's exposing you to something new and then applying it to your goals. So it's a really important thing to realize. I love creativity. I am not personally a very creative person, unfortunately, but I love creativity and I admire it in people. But creativity is taking what's in the subconscious, in the conscious, in your environment, and rearranging the pieces to make them more powerful or adaptive. Whereas intuition is setting a target and then simply noticing what comes in from the outside, not from the inside, what your awarenesses are, what those shifts are and documenting them. I mean, I never thought, I mean, I could have been a poet, but I never thought I'd be a writer in self-help. I never thought I loved to write. It was perfect, but I never thought that that was something that I would do. I frankly had no idea what I was going to do. But when I had a target, you know, and my target in my early 20s, it was, who am I? Mm. Like, do I have any purpose in this world at all? And then I saw on television that this university was doing tests on the extended capacity of the human mind. I thought, oh, wow, everyone does this, don't they? Because, of course, at 21, you think everyone sees the world exactly the way you do, mm-hmm. But you're super special anyway. And and I called them up and I said, I can do what you're talking about. And I walked in looking like a Manson girl, you know, long blonde hair, 90 pounds, pleated skirt, little white shirt. They took one look at me and thought, oh, my God. And they started explaining what they were doing. And, you know, these were professors. And really condescending to me, a young female who, you know, looked like a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I just said, this is in Practical Intuition. I said, put a name in an envelope. And they did. I said, don't tell me what it is. I held the envelope and I gave details about two people because the guy by mistake had only put a first name and mm-hmm. it was his first name and his best friend's first name. So I actually defined two people, what they did for a living, what was coming up for them, what was wrong with their bodies. And all of a sudden, I had a purpose and listen, most psychics live in fifth floor cat pee smelling walk-ups because having a brain that allows such a defined porosity is not a plus. Mm. You know, it doesn't help you in the world unless you make it into a profession. You know, it is, you know, you don't know where you are in space and time. You feel what everybody feels. You don't, you know, it's really a damaged brain that because I had a goal, which was where do I belong? Oh, please. I mean, I remember crying saying, what am I doing here? Am I just eating and shopping? Like, what is my life here? And I got my answer and it used my pathology as my ability. One of my favorite little posters I've made for my group is your pathology can be your potential. Mm. We're all so hard on ourselves. You know, huge $1 billion weight loss programs were made by some woman who was struggling to lose weight unsuccessfully because of, you know, their metabolism. Every gift has a vulnerability and every vulnerability has a gift. And although I'm not big on big brush self-acceptance either, because no, there's some things about ourselves that are not acceptable that we need to work on. You start with saying, this is who I am. You know, the nutty parts and the good parts and the horrible parts that I can't even, you know, look at for more than a moment. This is who I am. And now here's what I can do with it. What is the upside? I'm an anxiety type. My husband's a denial type. His denial makes me crazy because he's very effective. He can just deny anything that gets in the way, but hell, not so fun for an anxiety type who wants you to address these problems. You know, the gift of his denial is that he is effective. He makes our life run so beautifully. I'm an anxiety type. The gift of my anxiety, although he please says, please don't open your mouth before I've had a cup of coffee, is that he takes care of things that used to grow so big that they were destructive to him.
Yeah.
My friend says, together we have one complete brain. And so that's, you know, that's a really good example of your vulnerability is also your superpower. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to accept yourself. Anxious people also are really great intuitives and able to get lots of information once anxiety stops freezing them into inaction and reassurance. So you address the vulnerability, you address the pathology, whether you're a human being, a family, a company, or a country, or a world, you address the pathology. And in doing so, what you find is the superpower. So whenever you hate something about yourself, say, oh, I hate this about myself. Okay. But it's what it is. What does this also give me? And by the way, my denial type puts up with a lot of crap I, as an anxiety type, would not put up with. Mm-hmm. And that's a plus. any of you who are married. That's always a plus.
Yeah, it is. Yes, exactly. Tell me about the, I would love to hear a little bit more about the anxiety portion, because I think that that runs really rampant with people. Well, with a lot of women that I talk to, like kind of like once they set that goal as well. So the goal, it sounds like having a goal helps with our quote unquote, like our intuition. Right. Yep. So right. Having that goal,
but then also
the goal can make you a bit anxious, right? Like, oh, I'm not doing enough, or I should do X, Y, and Z.
Well, I wrote a book called Welcome to Your Crisis, and I had actually done a lot of pro bono work for drug researchers and psychiatrists. And in this book, I called in every favor. So intuitively, I got a sense of what gets in our way and how we get destroyed or recover from crisis. But then I ran it through all of these people who are so much more brilliant than I am, less intuitive, more brilliant, to trouble check it. Because when someone's in crisis, you don't want to make a mistake. They just don't have the wingspan. And we really have four types. And they're reaction types, and you were the same way in nursery school. When we're overwhelmed or when we're undecided, some people react with anger and defensiveness. Some people act with depression, so they kind of sink and they feel they can't move forward. Some people react with denial, so they just, you know, pretend either they don't want it or they pretend the problems don't exist, which can come and bite you in the butt. And some people react my type. I'm the poster child for the anxiety type. Mm. Some people react with anxiety where they almost scatter to a point where they don't make solid, active decisions. It's really important to know what type you are and what your first reaction is. Is your first reaction to like do something else, denial? Is it to blow up and make it worse, anger? Is it to really feel like everything is too much, depression? Or is it to hyper-focus on the spider vein on your leg that has nothing to do with what's going on perhaps, but is going to take over your life if you don't get it fixed? Mm. So you need to know how you react, because often we create our own troubles. There is plenty of opportunity out there, but we tend to create our own troubles in the same ways over and over again. Feeling, and I think I'm stealing this from AA, feeling isn't fact. The first time I heard it was actually, I was doing a video for a little girl who'd been hit by a car in middle school at 11 and was now a quadriplegic and had to have an event to breathe for her. So she had gone from this dancer, 11-year-old, to somebody who was dependent on her environment for everything. And so I was doing healing with her and intuition with her. And I met her, I think, the day after the accident. And I was doing these videos to take her with me into the world. And he said to her, "Feeling isn't fact," on the video. And it was so wonderful because he was such an icon. Feeling isn't fact. And that stuck with me and stuck with her. By the way, she is now still a quadriplegic on a ventilator, but she is a Harvard graduate. She's writing a book. Her name is Brooke Ellison. You can Google her. She is a professor at Stony Brook University. She is a bunch of people who love her and root for her, and a bunch of people she heals through everything that she does with public policy. She's a rock star, a rock star. Mm. Most people would say, oh, wow, that happened. That's it. She didn't. And, you know, childhood is wonderful because in a sense, you also have people around you. You also don't know the limitations of certain things. And there is something to be said for beginner's mind, for everything to be a possibility. I mean, the last time I was single, I was 50 years old. The statistics said, well, you're definitely not going to get married again. You know, maybe you'll have sex again and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I met literally the man of my dreams, my Adonis, my superstar, the most amazing screenwriter. Oh my God, I wonder if he's going to write a play. That's what intuition does. It shows you. But screenwriter, journalist, you know, wonderful ex-husband, wonderful father, wonderful, like this man, a kind of man I'd never had before, who was so competent in relationships, so competent in the world. And I called my friend and said, don't encourage him, not my type. no deep-seated anger. He wasn't what I recognized.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. You know? I love that phrase. He wasn't what I recognized.
Thank God he stuck it out. And I had a 3-date rule. And thank God, because by the third date, I was... So I forget where I was going with this story. I think I remembered. ADD in action. Where you are does not dictate where you'll end up. It just says where you are. But the ability to tolerate realism, to tolerate where you are as your starting place, is the only foundation for all the miracles, manifestation in quotes, all the wonderful things. Reality is the foundation for all magic. Magic meaning, oh, wow, how did this happen? How did I go from pond slime to the most beautiful flower in the field? It doesn't matter how you did it. It just matters that you do it. Have a goal. And your goal at the moment, if you're really having a hard time, may be just to be able to make rent. That doesn't mean that you're real, that you should let go of your big goal. Your big goal may be to have your own TV station. Whatever your big goal is, have your big goal. Because guess what? The subconscious, again, makes decisions 7 seconds before our conscious mind is aware of them.
Wow.
What does that mean? That means that not wishing is the most dangerous thing you can do. Have a goal so more of your subconscious is pulled up to consciousness in reference to that goal, in your dreams, in your actions, in the help you get, in the awarenesses about you. Keep that goal conscious, but it has to be a goal that you desperately want, not a have-to goal, because otherwise your subconscious is not on board. And I'll tell you, working against the subconscious, no win.
So good. Laura, if we want to get started with this, with some of your books, what would be a good place to start? Which one? Or like if we did a 1 and 2, what would that be?
Well, I think if you're interested in developing intuition, practical intuition, which please, I did write that 20 odd years ago, but practical intuition proves to you that you are intuitive, that you can get data. If you want to engage intuition to create something, The Circle, and it's on audio, it's on digital. The Circle is the format. It's written in very esoteric language, but I used to use it with mergers and acquisitions. I mean, it's a really wonderful book about how do I put myself together in a new way, myself together in the world in a new way, and how do I create? But also on lauraday.com, can I spell that? L-A-U-R-A-D-A-Y. .com. There's so many free resources available. And on YouTube, you can find your crisis type. You can exchange readings because sometimes, you know, I find that telling people about intuition doesn't work. But when you get them to get verifiable data about someone else that they couldn't possibly have known, when they experience that, then all of a sudden subconscious is on board.
And that's on your website.
Yes. Okay. It's on Instagram. We exchange readings, Twitter, all my articles and podcasts.
Amazing. What's your handle on Instagram?
Laura Day Intuit.
Okay.
And same with Twitter, and it's Laura Day Circle on YouTube and on Facebook. And I answer my emails personally. So please, like, one line, make them short, but I answer them because I'm interested in people developing intuition, because I think it is a superpower. It will tell you with what you have how to get what you want. And it's the only thing that does that.
Oh man, I think we're all hooked and ready. I'm ready for the next step. I know I am right now. I'm just like, I would love to have that information right now just to feel more clear. And like you said, sometimes when we get that data, it's just like, well, I'd love to learn more and engage it more, you know, especially when we know that this is such a huge superpower that we all have access to. So is there anything that you want people to know that you didn't yet talk about? I'm sure there's a million things, but is there anything you want to leave people with?
Yes. Have a goal. Don't use creative visualization once you have it. Allow the experience. Don't look for it. You're going to look in an old way and you're going to get old information. Allow the experience as you're walking around, as you're brushing your teeth, as you're waxing your legs, allow the experience of that goal as if it had happened. Just allow it with the same 5 senses you experience life with. Also, use your sleep productively. If you're working on something before sleep, write it down, whether it's something in the outer world or something on your inner world. And then forget your dreams, because dreams are a mishmash of so many things. Notice when you wake up, where does your attention go? Who do you feel like? What age are you? What do you want? Mm. What are you afraid of? And then shift out of it. And each type has a way to shift. Their little audio experiences on my website about that. But shift out of it, because you don't want your day colored by the work that you've done in your sleep.
Okay.
Also, know that this moment is the moment that you create the next moment. So if you go to a psychic, it's all about how you can change something. And if you walk out of there thinking, wow, that psychic was great, they didn't do a good reading. If you walk out of there feeling empowered to create your own life, they did a great job.
Oh, that is good. All right. I love that. Okay, Laura, I'm so grateful for you. And again, if you just want to shout out your handles and your website one more time.
Okay. LauraDaY.com is my website. All the handles are on there, but Instagram at Laura Day Intuit, YouTube at Laura Day Circle has lots of free lessons. I go on live all the time to ask questions on Instagram. Twitter, which is Laura Day Intuit, has all of, you know, wonderful podcasts with people and articles that I've written. And I always write as a teacher, because I think life really is hard. Let's help ourselves. Let's help each other. Because then when we are effective and efficient with our energy, then all of a sudden the hard part becomes manageable and we can experience the good part.
Yay. So amazing. You guys, if you loved this episode as much as I did, the biggest gift that you can give Laura is to give her a shout out. Go check out her stuff. Let her know when you tag her. So upload this particular podcast, give her a tag, and let her know what your biggest takeaway was. If you had an aha moment, if she bridged a gap for you, if you really got something big out of this, because it's always so much fun to see who is actually listening and see the impact that was made.
That's so nice. Ask for that. That's so lovely. Thank you. That's
so
thoughtful.
It's so fun. All right, you guys, until next time, earn your happy. Bye, everyone.